What's going on, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers, and you are tuning in to our second episode of our weekly tech podcast. I have Derek with me, who was one of our hosts last week as well. If you missed that episode, Derek covers pretty much our water cooling, all-in-one water coolers. He does some cases as well. He does a lot of stuff with the site. So, Derek, how's it going today?
Not bad, man. How you doing?
Been sick all week, so I'm not in that pleasant of a mood, but I'm gonna try to get through this for everybody out there. So if I sound like I'm sick, I am. So hopefully it's not that bad through this episode. But you said you went bike riding today, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, man. 50 miles and weather's starting to turn around here.
That's crazy.
Time to get out there and get in shape.
Yeah, it was actually warm here in Pittsburgh. If you guys don't know, Derek's in Michigan. So if you guys are like us on the East Coast and dealing with all this cold weather, hopefully today is Saturday, so hopefully things are going to start turning around. We'll get rid of this snow and get back to the summer and spring and, you know, what we actually like here on the East Coast. But yeah, so hopefully that comes pretty soon. Moving on to the reviews that we covered this week. Our first review this week was the Corsair Carbide Series 100R case. That is Corsair's $50 case. Basically a builder's case, but again, it's made by Corsair, so you are going to have some of that higher quality. We gave it, I believe, a 7 out of 10. Not the Derek that I have with me here, but our other Derek, who is our resident case guy. He gave it a 7 out of 10. Some of the things he didn't like, but overall, a good case, a good beginner case as well, which, of course, we like
yeah,
to
I found
see.
It...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I found it interesting that he still really enjoyed and liked the case, but 7 out of 10 just based on not being maybe the easiest case to work with.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we expect certain things, especially if, you know, we review a lot of products and sometimes we expect certain things and sometimes they're not there. But I feel I've seen the case. I actually have one. They sent me one by accident. Don't tell Corsair. But for a $50 case, you're getting a good looking case. They do have the option to have one with a window as well. So it's a good case for $50. You know, a lot of people want to spend that extra money on the video card or motherboard or processor, whatever it may be. Case isn't as important to them. They're not going to, you know, throw a couple hundred dollars at a case. So a $50 case, it is from Corsair too. A lot of people look like that as a higher end brand. So yeah, I mean, I feel it's a pretty good case. You know, certain things might be wrong with it as far as the build goes and everything like that. And of course, that all depends on what you're building or what you're putting inside as well. You know,
definitely.
Problems that we come across in our build may not affect everybody else as well. So you kind of have to take that into account. But overall, a good case. And it's good. You'll actually see we have a bunch of case reviews coming up that are these, you know, entry-level cases, and a lot of companies are doing this because they know that not everybody can afford or wants to pay $200 for a case. So we have a lot of these case reviews actually coming up. So
yeah, it's you pick out all your parts, and then you get to the end, and then you still need a case. So definitely having a budget-friendly option is it's a smart move for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of what Corsair is trying to do, and a lot of other companies you'll see this year try to do that. And the thing that's great now is a lot of times we've seen budget cases that are just pieces of crap. I mean, they're really bad. And a lot of these companies now know that even the beginner wants something that's easy to work in, that looks pretty good, and that's going to last as well. It's not going to fall apart, or you're not going to break it while you're building it. Those are the big things that you know, that these companies know now, and they're building cases that are still within the price range, but have some of these more quality features and will last a long time. So moving on to our next review, Jack reviewed the Griffin iTrip Aux and iTrip Bluetooth. And these are basically devices that you use to bring audio into your car from, say, your mobile device. And Griffin's been doing the iTrip forever. I mean, I remember, actually, I think I reviewed one I'm not sure how long ago. I mean, a very long time ago. Griffin was one of the pioneers in this because we all know we all have these mobile devices. And of course, especially now, you, at least for me, I have all of my music on my iPhone. That's I don't have
Right.
I have an iPod, but I rarely ever use it. So when I'm in the car, I have my iPhone that has all my music on it. And of course, you know, these days you can listen to podcasts, you can, you know, have Pandora, you know, you can have all these different Spotify, all of that in the car, you know, and you want that to be able to connect to your car's, you know, stereo system. So these two devices make it easy to do that. One's Bluetooth enabled, so all you do is connect your phone or mobile device to that via Bluetooth, and then it plugs right into the auxiliary port on your device, on your car stereo. So it's really that easy. The other one's just a little bit different. The other one is a lightning cable. So what that does is connect to your iOS device, iPad, iPhone, iPod. And what that does is it allows you to use your device, and then that has a cable that also connects to the auxiliary in on your car stereo, and the iTrip aux actually charges your device as well, so it gives you that charging in the car as well. So you know you are playing Pandora or whatever, and you're using your battery. This goes ahead and allows you to you know keep your device charged. So when you get out of the car, you
Yeah, I
still
think
have.
that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, Griffin's been doing the iTrips forever. I mean, for as long as I can remember, Griffin's been doing
Tape
them.
deck.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing this stuff for a long time, and they're a really good company. They make a lot of different devices, but the iTrip has been one of their main devices for such a long time. And it seemed like Jack liked both of them. I believe he liked the iTrip Bluetooth better. Let me go look
No,
actually.
he liked the
The
aux
He
better.
liked the aux better, 'cause probably 'cause it has the charging, and the Bluetooth had a little bit of some skipping issues and things like that. But
Yeah.
again, it's all about your preference, really, when it comes to devices like this, I feel.
Yeah, what do you feel comfortable using, really?
Yeah, whatever you feel comfortable using. I like these devices because it gives you the ability to, one, I know there's like a lot of aftermarket places that you can go to get, say, like an iPod dock put in your car, and that cost $200 to $300 really. These give you the ability to, you know, use this in your car, take it out easily, and use it in a friend's car. If say you're renting a car to go on a road trip, things like that. It gives you the ability to do that, and they're very easy to use. They work a very long time. I actually had one from years ago that I still have that still works. I don't use it because I have actually a Bluetooth stereo now in my car, but you know, it just makes it easy. I believe they're both $50, $40, $50 each, which isn't a whole lot of expense. Again, when you go to like say a custom shop to get you know like an iPod dock or something like that put in your car, it's going to cost a couple hundred dollars. So this makes it easy and allows you to remove it from the car and take it to your next car or a car you're renting or a friend's car or something like that. So definitely pretty cool on that. And then I took a look at the Noctua NHD9L CPU cooler. And this cooler is just like the last one we took a look at from Noctua. It is very small. It's a small form factor made for, you know, server build, mini ITX build, things like that. Extremely small. But it actually, while it wasn't the best cooler that I've tested lately as far as performance, it still performed very well given its size, which is one thing that I really do like because I'm sure you know that all-in-one water cooling units are great, but in small systems, it's kind of hard to fit everything. And if you,
Absolutely.
and sometimes the an air cooler will actually perform better and create less noise as an all-in-one unit. It all depends, obviously, in a lot of different factors. But this one is made to be like that. It's very small. It's 3U compatible. So if you're building a server, a 3U server, this is 3U compatible, which a lot of air coolers are not that offer the same type of performance. It's 100% RAM compatible. So I installed it on an X79 system, which has DDR3 DIMMs on each side of the cooler. No issues with any memory or anything like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so and it's 100% PCI Express compatible as well on a mini ITX motherboard. So if you are building a small system, a lot of times the larger coolers will actually get in the way of your PCI Express slot on that motherboard. This one is guaranteed that that won't happen as well. Really good cooler. I would have liked a little bit better performance, but you do have the ability to add fans. You can actually add two more fans onto it. They're not included, but if you wanted to add them, you could go ahead and put them on there. So definitely a nice cooler to look at if you're doing a small build or you're doing a server build and you want to get a decent air cooler. The NHD9 D9L is the cooler to definitely take a look at for sure.
What's that going for?
I think it's 50. Hold on. I actually look. I believe it is 50. I thought it should be $10 cheaper based on performance.
Okay.
Because I think I
'Cause yeah,
should.
you can get into like a Corsair for like $30. I mean, it's
Yeah.
not a Noctua,
Yeah.
but
It's I thought it should be $10 cheaper. I feel that it's a great product. It's extremely easy to install too. I talk about that a lot in the review, is that Noctua has their patented SecureFirm 2 mounting system, and for air coolers, and they make some of the biggest air coolers, this exact same mounting system was on their bigger coolers as well. It makes it so easy to install these coolers one time. You don't it's very easy to understand. One time install, extremely easy. Because I've had some air coolers in the past where I'm just like, what the heck? Like it would
yeah.
take me
Oh my gosh.
30 minutes to install, 40 minutes to install, and that's okay for guys like us who just do these over and over again. But again, if you're a first time builder, you're a novice, it's going to take you a lot longer than that. So
Yeah.
yeah, so it's really easy to install. I really like that. Of course, it's universal, so it works on both AMD and Intel and all of that. But yeah, it's $59.99. I would have liked to see if it was $49.99, I would have given a higher score. But based on the performance, just not up to par with the one that I reviewed before, which was the let me look, which was the U9S, which is a tad bit bigger, had a lot better performance. So definitely check it out if you need a small cooler, because it's definitely that type of cooler. For that, it's not something you'd put in, say, a high performance gaming rig, which is a full ATX motherboard. You would probably go for an all-in-one water cooling or a higher end CPU cooler. But for the smaller builds,
Yeah.
this is a great CPU cooler for sure. I mean, it's one of the better ones that I've tested. And again, same thing with Noctua. All their stuff's quality made. Installation's easy. You get a lot of different accessories. They give you like a low noise adapter, which turns the fan speed down automatically, but a couple other cool things that come with it. So it's definitely worth checking out for sure. If you're into a small build and you're not sure what type of CPU cooler you want, that is definitely a good one to take a look at. And then,
Definitely looks like checking out.
yeah, and then this week we had our Case Mod Friday, which is every Friday we highlight a case mod in the scene, what's going on, a finished case mod. And this week we have Sneff's Bloody Angel, which I don't know if, because you picked this one out, so I don't know if you want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people know who Sneff is. He's one of like the house name builders, like modders, I guess you would say. He does, gosh, I mean, any new case, pretty much, you're going to see a Sneff build on. He's probably as close to, or completely a professional modder. And this is his SM8 build, which is an awesome case. If you've never seen it in person, it's massive, tons of room for water cooling. And then he just takes it a step further, and pretty much he did just a custom theme on it. And he went with a really simple white and red theme, completely custom sleeving. Looks like he's got all Bitfenix parts for the most part, and then EK blocks. So it's just a pretty cool, massive, high performance. He's got Tri-SLI in there, and it's just a great looking build.
Yeah, I was really impressed by this. You would think, a lot of people do these crazy color designs, and just a simple white and red just looks awesome. Of course,
Does
you can see he has the ROG logo on the DSLI bridge there, and that's of course the colors for ROG, and you have some black in there as well. This case is massive though. I mean, geez, this is one of the bigger
Yeah, it really
cases that
is.
I've seen. Case Labs makes excellent cases for really high performance builds, and he has done such a great job. And I think that the rigid tubing that he uses, I think that's become some of my favorite type of tubing to see, really. The
It's
rigid
so
tubing.
popular right now.
Yeah, I
It
think
that is
everybody's
like,
using it right now, and it's such a cool
yeah.
looking build. And it's just like, it's crazy. Like looking at just the tubing is just, he has some close up shots of the tubing, and it's just so cool looking to me. I don't know what it is. It just looks really cool. And I mean, the amount of detail that he's put into this and quality work, it's just amazing, I think. It's awesome.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, it's just man, we featured another one of his builds a couple weeks ago, and this is definitely one of his best builds, I feel. You can't go wrong with the white and red, I feel, with on any building.
No, white just, there's just something about white, and then you throw the red on top of it, and it just like pops. So it's not like it's, yeah, like you said, it's not like it's crazy. But it just looks so good. It's so stylish.
Yeah, that's the big thing about it. It's just really, really cool. Looks great. So yeah, definitely check that out on our Case Mod Friday section. And if you have a case mod that you want to submit, we actually have a submission page where you can actually submit your own case mod, and it'll be featured on the site. Very easy to do. It's all web-based, so you can just put all your stuff in there, and we'll go ahead and let you know when it goes up on the site. We do one a week, every Friday, so definitely be sure to check that out. And moving on to news, this week was the Game Developers Conference, which is pretty big these days, not only for hardware announcements, but a lot of software and obviously gaming type announcements that we see. We try to cover most of the hardware that came out of it, just because obviously we're hardware based tech site, so
Because hardware is awesome.
yeah, and we like hardware. Software is cool and games are cool, but the hardware that runs them is definitely what we're passionate about. So the big piece of hardware, or the big thing that we actually talked about in our last podcast, was Nvidia was going to make an announcement, and we kind of guessed it on the head that Nvidia announced a Shield console. And I know, Derek, you actually covered this because I was on my deathbed that day.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to talk about it more than me. About
Sure.
the actual the Shield console, what it's all about, what it's gonna do, what's powering it, and everything like that.
Basically, it's an Android console, which is, they're becoming insanely popular right now. But this one features NVIDIA's new Tegra X1 processor, which is their most powerful processor on the market right now. And it's also equipped with a 256 core Maxwell GPU with 3 gigs of RAM. So this thing, like, not only is it small form factor, throw it in your living room, but it has some serious teeth to it too. The Nvidia says it's going to do 60 frames per second at 1080p, which, I mean, even Xbox One and PS4 aren't always running that at this point. And then not only will it game at 60 frames per second and 1080p, it's also 4K Ultra HD ready for playback. So you're not going to be gaming at that, but it'll also play video and stuff at 4K when more content becomes available for it. It's also it's only got 16 gigs of built-in storage, which is kind of standard for these boxes. But like most, it also has a micro SD, and we just saw what a 256 gig card come out. So you can definitely expand your storage. You've got 5.1 and 7.1 surround sound through the HDMI pass through, which is we'd kind of expect it, but it's good to see that that's in there. You got your wireless 802.11 AC, both the 2.4 and a 5 gigahertz antenna, Bluetooth. Pretty much a lot of features you would expect to see there, and then. In addition to the console, it's supported with a controller, which more or less looks just like an Xbox 360 controller, but that's up to you to decide.
Does the
And
controller
that's
come with it?
it. I didn't see that anywhere, and I don't believe it does actually.
Okay.
It's because it's available for 59. That's the only thing that's available right now, or pricing is available for right now, and it's $59.99. So I can't imagine them shipping it without, kind of. But it also doesn't say anything. I mean, and this console comes out for $199, so that's
Okay.
like incredibly reasonable, and I can't see a $60 controller being thrown in with it. So I'm thinking they're going for mouse and keyboard as your standard.
Yeah, see, that's kind of yeah. The what you did mention, there's also there's two USB 3.0 ports. So you
Right,
can actually
right.
add storage that way. So you can just hook an external
Yeah.
hard drive up to it, no problem with all your media and different things and all of that. Of course, with the way Android works too, is you can have all your games loaded on that. So you're not using the 16 gigs that's in there for your
Yeah.
games and all of that. It looks pretty cool. That was kind of like their big thing, as far as gaming in quotation marks goes.
Oh, we got to mention the grid service though too
Well,
with it
that's been out for a
for a
bit.
little while,
Yeah.
but it's like they were really like selling grid with this for whatever reason.
I think it's
Maybe they're
'cause,
not selling a lot of grid subscription right now.
yeah.
So they want that, but a grid is pretty cool. I mean, that's 1080p streaming.
Yeah, so grid service, I think this will push it just like how Shield pushed a bunch of their other type of products. I think this will push the grid service and see how that goes. Grid, I forget when grid launched. It launched not that long ago.
Yeah.
If you don't know what grid is, it allows you to stream games off the internet more or less. It's sort of like a game streaming service, like a Netflix for games, type of deal.
Right. All the rendering is done on NVIDIA servers.
Yeah, and it's
You
streamed
just get
to
the video.
you. So it's basically like somebody else is playing the game on the cloud in a computer, not
It
playing it,
is,
but
yeah.
rendering everything, and it's coming streamed down to
Yeah.
you, which is actually really cool. There was a big article on it when it first came out. It's actually quite interesting in all of that. Now, does the grid service come with this as a bundle, or do you have to pay for that as well? Are they going to give you like a free month, or was
That
that was
nothing is mentioned yet about like how it's going to be paid, but I mean we know Grid is a subscription service, so
Yeah.
maybe they'd be wise to give you a month. I mean that's how you get hooked on things, right? Is
Yeah,
you get to try it for a
for
month.
sure. So I that would be cool if they bundled, a month of grid service, or and then gave me a discount on the grid service on top of that, maybe because I'm just cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that. But definitely cool to see this from Nvidia. Of course, I kind of expected it. We all kind of expected it from Nvidia because they had
Yeah.
that powerful X1 processor not doing much. And this is what everybody wants. Everybody wants to bring things into the living room. It's kind of just like a thing now, and
Yeah.
it's good to see Nvidia do it. It'll be interesting to see when it comes out how well it sells. Again, the Shield products
I
from
mean, I
Nvidia haven't sold that well.
No.
So we'll kind of see how that goes for Nvidia.
But at $200, I mean, I could see myself buying this even.
Really? See, here's the thing. It's like I like the price and I think it's great and everything, but how many Android games do I actually play, right?
Right.
You
But they
know.
have actual PC games. They're gonna, I mean, they're talking about running CryEngine on this thing,
Yeah.
and
I don't know. That's
you
I'd have to
mentioned, you know.
see when it all comes in. Like, again, I like playing. I'm weird. Like, I don't like playing games in the living room.
No.
No, not really.
See,
It's.
sometimes I don't really either, but sometimes I do.
See, I
You know, so
don't.
and at $200, I feel like I could pay $200 and just have it sit for, you know, 80% of my time.
That's true. I don't know. But
Bob's not sold.
I'm not really sold. But the other big thing from Nvidia to come out of GDC was, which was interesting that they didn't announce this at their Made to Game event, because they wanted all the PR and all everything to go on the console. Obviously, that's why they didn't. But they did unveil the GeForce GTX Titan X, which is their flagship.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
I said, whoa, very impressive.
I was like, but yeah, that is their high grade enthusiast card, and it has 12. When it's first announced, all we knew was that it had 12 gigabytes of RAM on it, which is a lot.
It's massive.
Yeah, so it was announced at the Epic Games event, and it was actually running one of their demos. And that's pretty much all we really knew about it at the start. And then some people that were at GDC kind of got some up close and personal time with it. And we have some new information, just so everybody knows kind of what the card's about. If you didn't know, the card obviously is going to be based on Maxwell. That's the new GPU architecture from NVIDIA. That's what the GTX 980 is based off of. So you have the Maxwell architecture, but the card itself looks pretty much like the other Titan cards. It has a pretty much all black shroud, which kind of gives a lot of people the notion that there's not going to be a Titan X black card to come out, because this shroud is all black as it is.
Yeah, I could see them making it just a completely black one. It's like gray.
Yeah.
NVIDIA will do with it whatever they want. They're not really concerned with
The
colors so much.
thing that bothered me about it, there's no backplate on the card, which is weird.
Yeah. Are we looking at a production model though, or you know?
I think these are production models. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well.
Because why would you
Well, then
unveil
that would
why would
be
you unveil unlike have an official unveiling of a card and it not be what the public's gonna get? Especially the backplate. That's like a
That's true.
I mean you could put it any back you could put a Maybe it might not be the right backplate, or you might change it later, but you could still put a backplate on it.
True.
So the 980 had a backplate, so it would have been
Yeah.
nice to see the a card that costs more money, and it does have RAM on the back side because it's 12 gig card, so you're gonna have RAM on the back.
Right.
And the backplate could obviously help cool that RAM and all that. So not having that is kind of weird to me. And as far as there's a couple other things about the card, it does have two SLI fingers, so that means you're going to get support for three-way or four-way SLI. Of course, we'll find all that out in a couple weeks, actually. And then as far as power goes, you have a combination of an 8-pin and a 6-pin PCI Express, which means that NVIDIA is going to target that 250-watt TDP that we saw on other cards. And this is obviously due to the lower power efficiency of Maxwell, and it might actually even be lower than that. So again, we will definitely have to see in a couple of weeks. NVIDIA is holding their GPU technology conference, which will of course go over all of this in great detail. I would assume that this year's technology conference is going to be based all around this card specifically. So we'll have all that information come out when, of course, all of that definitely happens in a couple of weeks. And then moving on from that, going back to gaming in the living room, which again seems to be a very hot topic here. Steam have announced a product called Steam Link, which won't be out till November. But it's a small little box, and what this allows you to do is stream Steam from your gaming PC to any room that you have it connected to. So if I have this in my bedroom, I can go ahead and play games from my PC on my TV in my bedroom. It actually reminds me a lot of NZXT's Doko PC streaming device, which I actually reviewed. I would assume this is the exact same technology. And the thing that they don't mention is that they say you have to connect it to your home network, but they don't say whether it's wired or wireless. But there's an Ethernet port on here, so I'm assuming it's going to be
Yeah.
wired only, just like the Doko is.
Yeah.
And this is
You
$50.
just you're gonna have to for the bandwidth, I mean.
Yeah, I would assume for that, it's just going to be, it's going to have to
It's just
be.
necessary, yeah.
Yeah. It has two USB ports on the front, it looks like, or I guess that's the back. I think there's actually three total USB ports. So I would assume it does the same thing as a Doko. So if I plug in a controller on here and then connect it, it's going to actually act as if that USB device is connected into the PC that I'm streaming from. I would assume that's how this works. The only issue I see with this is that it's going to be Steam only, right? So if I want to watch a movie or something,
It's no good.
yeah, it won't do that. From what it seems like, it's $50 cheaper than the Doko. The Doko is $99.99. This is $49.99. And again, it's Steam only. I think it's pretty cool. I think a lot of people actually find a lot of use out of it. If they play a lot of arcade type games and games that they want to play in their living room, I feel.
Yeah. Now, what do you think this is going to support? I mean, you're going to be able to stream from your Steam box to another room.
Like a Steam machine, you mean?
Yeah,
I think it's
like.
just from the Steam client. I think this is going to work through the Steam client.
So, but is so it's but it's going to do the rendering on the PC, right?
Yeah. So all you're
Everything will
doing
be
is
done on the PC.
streaming,
So
just like the Doko.
will the smaller, Steam machines, are they going to support this? Are they going to be powerful enough, do you think?
Yeah, because I mean they're
Okay.
made to play games like anything else. This is just going to stream that content, to another
Okay.
device. That's basically it's
So
such as
it's an easy extension of that.
yeah, it's an easy extension for people who, they are PC gamers, but they want to play in the living room, but they don't want to say buy it. This just makes it easier for Valve and Steam to bring that experience to the living room. And it's very low
Yeah.
cost. It's $50. I mean,
Yeah, that's a great price.
yeah, that's going to get it out the door for people. And we'll see how well it works. But like I said, the only caveat, just like the Doko, the only caveat of the Doko was that it is wired, and not everybody has a wired connection, say, in the in the living room where their TV is. So
Right.
that could be the only caveat. But again, Valve hasn't said that. They just announced it. They said your home network in quotations, So,
Yes.
but I would assume that's what it is. That's what it really seemed like, and I don't see why they wouldn't mention wireless unless it's not really there. So, but definitely a way to again bring the Steam experience into the living room. And our next story is a quite sad one for me. On the week of GDC, EA actually shut down
Yeah.
Maxis Studio, which, if you didn't know, Maxis Studio is the studio behind the Sim games. So, especially SimCity, which I grew up playing, was one of my favorite games probably of all time. Just because it's one of those games that wasn't an action game or it wasn't a FPS or anything like that. It was a game that I could, as a kid growing up, I actually sat for hours building cities and trying to, build the perfect city with the perfect grids and all of that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't see this as a huge surprise.
I felt like the popularity was declining
Well,
general
the last game,
and their issues.
yeah, the last game that came out was pretty bad. It gave a lot of bad rap to both Maxis and EA. It was the game was so bad it received over 800 bad reviews on Amazon, and Amazon actually stopped selling the game. That's how bad it was.
That's pretty incredible.
The last SimCity that came out, actually, they required you to have an always on internet connection, which didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
A lot of other things with the game were bad, and there was the DRM actually allowed you. Some people found ways to go in and destroy other people's cities, and just a it was a PR mess basically.
Yeah.
And then they just, and then after that, a lot of people lost trust in Maxis and EA, and The Sims 4, which was their next game that came out, didn't sell nearly as well as they thought it would. So it's just kind of a downward spiral from there. But it's just really sad to see because, again, Maxis and SimCity was, that's just what that just reminds me of my childhood playing these games and how great they were at the time. Just really, really. I don't know. I don't like when studios close and you lose these
No.
franchises. Now, somebody could buy the IP. I don't know if they said who. So the IP of the game is being transferred to other studios. So maybe some other studio can resurrect SimCity and make it the SimCity that we all used to know and love. I would, we would hope for that. You would think it a game that's been out for so long.
Yeah.
It will come back under another studio, so I hope that happens. But you never know these days. But it would be great to see another SimCity come out. I know I would get it. I got this last SimCity, wasn't that happy with it, obviously.
No.
Yeah, so definitely not a great thing to be talking about,
It's kind of
but
an odd announcement right at GCN
or
N too, I mean,
yeah,
or GDC.
GDC, yeah.
GDC, like, oh, hey, now that we're talking about gaming and software, we're gonna close a studio down.
Yeah, I don't know if they thought that they could just close it during GDC week just to so it might get pushed under the rug of all the other announcements and everything like that. But I mean, everybody picked it up. The way it got picked up was the actual one of the head developers there actually sent out a tweet,
Yeah,
and
no surprise.
obviously the way we are now with everything, and people on Reddit and everything like that, it just gets picked up. And again,
Yeah.
and it's big news because, like I said, a lot of us who are at our age now grew up playing these games and know what Maxis Studios is. Like it's just not a good thing. Again, hopefully somebody who takes the IP will do something great with it. That's the best thing that we can hope for, really. But moving on from there into better news. Intel actually had an event during GDC as well. A lot of people I know that were at this event. It's a little press conference, and they actually showed off an unlocked socketed Broadwell CPU. So, for those that don't know, all the Broadwell products that were out are SoCs, which means they're socketed into their motherboard and everything like this. This one that they were showing off was actually a socketed processor. So like your typical Core i7, Core i5 type processor, in a motherboard running, and that means that we will see Broadwell processors a little bit later in the year, which something a lot of people are excited about. It actually will come with Intel's Iris Pro graphics built in as well. So a lot of people who want to do sort of like just like a mid-range PC where they're actually using the processor's built-in graphics, this will be great. A lot of things to, you can also, a good way to compete with APUs and things like that, because the Iris Pro is actually built in, and this is the first product with Iris Pro built in that's actually unlocked, so you'll be able to overclock, and that overclocking will affect the GPU speed and all of that as well. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how this goes along. This is something that enthusiasts and different people have been waiting for because we haven't seen it yet, from Intel. We haven't seen the socket at Broadwell, so that's definitely.
So we're only waiting for the socketed Broadwell.
I mean, no, we have Skylight coming too. But
Right. But nothing unsocketed. It's just the socketed.
yeah, everything that's, I mean, Broadwell's been out. It's in a lot of
Yeah.
laptops and things like that. But with this is the first socketed and it's unlocked, which is great for people who just want to put water cooling on it and see how far they can take it. And with Intel, we know that a lot of their processors can actually be taken pretty far. And of
Yeah,
course, that
it'll be
opens.
interesting to see what kind of graphics power you can get out of it,
Yeah, that's the big thing
for sure.
that a lot of people are talking about is, okay, so I have Iris Pro in there, and now I can actually overclock Iris Pro, as well as the processor. So it will be pretty cool to see how all that definitely shapes up. Great for Intel. And a lot of again, a lot of these pro you know this type of product, again, can be it can also be used in say like a Steam machine or things like that, where you don't need necessarily for a lot of the games that people are playing on Steam machines, arcade type games, you don't need a lot of graphics power, but you want better graphics power than say, like a built-in graphics type of thing, like in an SoC or something like that. So again, it's definitely something pretty cool to see. Moving on to Steam machines, Zotac actually announced a really cool Steam machine, and the big headline with this Steam machine, of course, it's not out. It won't be out till November. But the big thing about this one is that it will feature Intel's Skylake platform, which is this is one of the first products that's actually been announced that is confirmed to have Intel's Skylake in it, which means it's coming out in November. So we would hope Skylake will be out a little bit before that. But
Yeah, a couple months,
yeah,
I would
so
think.
yeah, so. But the cool thing about this is it's called the SN970 Steam Machine from Zotac. And what's pretty cool about it, it's called the SN970 because it features a GTX 970 in it. And it,
Mobile.
yeah, mobile. But it's still, that's still pretty powerful for how small it is. You know, these Steam machines are made to be pretty small and fit in your home theater, and this one is actually quite small. The reason it's not coming out till November is that's when SteamOS actually comes out. But it seems like a pretty cool device. And one thing I found rather cool about it actually has four HDMI outputs on it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is interesting because I don't know if that speaks to the graphic, the GPU, or that you're going to get more HDMI outputs on the actual Skylake architecture.
You know what it makes me think? Because it's got an HDMI in, right?
Yeah.
It makes me think of like a home theater receiver.
Well, that's
Is
what it's going to be able
that
to,
something?
that's what you're
Go
going to
ahead.
be able to do, because with HDMI in, you can input any HDMI input into it, right?
Okay,
You
yeah.
know, and play it te technically play it through there. You know, you see that a lot of times. I've reviewed some, you know, all-in-one products that have HDMI in. They're like perfect for, say, like a dorm room or something like that. You know, I've reviewed like an all-in-one unit that has the monitor and everything built in. It has HDMI in, so not only can you use it for its PC use, but say you have an Xbox 360, you can run it through that as well. You know, and of course the HDMI in can also be used for certain things like you know, recording gaming things and other
Yeah.
add-on devices that are used to record game, you know, record and stream gaming. The HDMI in can be used for that as well. But it's a very small system, which I love to see. I love to see things get smaller and smaller. But it still
Yeah,
has,
it's really cool.
it has a dual gigabit Ethernet, which I believe supports teaming as well. It has two USB 3.0 ports, or four USB 3.0 ports, two USB 2.0 ports, and you have all of your audio connections and everything like that. It seems like a pretty cool unit. I think it's priced at $1,000. When I originally did the article, there was no pricing yet, but I believe it starts at $1,000, I'm pretty sure.
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, so I believe that's what it starts at. I can actually look, because our next story, actually, that's where I got the pricing from, is that Steam has actually listed all of the Steam machines in the Steam store now. So you can actually go into Steam or your Steam client and look at all of these Steam machines. Yeah, the Zotac does start at $99.99. Most of these are not available yet, but what's interesting that I found about this is that I'm not actually sure, but from what a lot of people are saying is that you'll actually be able to buy these Steam machines directly through Steam. So the credit card you have on file at Steam, you know, with Steam, you'll be able to use
Yeah.
to buy all of these Steam machines, which seems pretty cool and makes it, again, a seamless experience, because a lot of people aren't really sure, you know, going to, say, like a Digital Storm or iBuyPower website, you're not really sure what they want
Yeah.
or what's the actual correct Steam machine and blah blah blah. So
Yeah,
doing
it
it through
really simplifies
Steam,
it.
yeah, will make it a lot easier for everybody. You know, so it's just good. It's good to see the Steam machine finally taking off. We thought we'd see it last year, but it didn't happen. So November of this year is the big time when SteamOS will come out, when all these Steam machines will be launched, and it'll be kind of exciting time for gaming, I feel, because it's going to take PC gaming to the next level. It's going to make PC gaming really, really competitive with console gaming, as far as, okay, we have a box too that can go into the living room and it can play all of the games that your console can play, and a lot of times will play it better and give me more options, and I can do a lot more with it. So it's going to be a really exciting time for PC gaming, I feel, come November.
I agree.
Yeah, and then finally, our last piece of news for this week, which seems kind of interesting to me, I feel, is that AMD was running a demo at GDC, and the actual quote from the AMD guy said, let me read it, the exact statement from The person at AMD said, an unannounced Radeon R9 flagship ultra enthusiast product was running the hardware demo. It was in a closed PC, so of course nobody could see what it was or anything like that. But AMD didn't deny that that's what it was. Their corporate vice president actually tweeted about it. So we assume that this would be the R9 390X,
Which is very exciting
which
for
is pretty
AMD.
cool. Well, see, here's the two things that's actually interesting is that this exact same demo was running at CES, but it was being powered not by this product. So this product had to have been worked on from that time to this time, and now this product, it's not ready for obviously commercial release, but it's ready enough to run a product demo, which is actually pretty cool. And it's gonna,
Which means they've actually got drivers far enough
yeah, they have
for
drivers
the
far
level.
enough. It's stable enough to run this demo, and it's good for AMD fans because, they really haven't said much as far as the release date for this high-end product. And it's, I feel right, as of right now, it's something that they need because AMD is kind of in no man's land right now. I mean, NVIDIA's kind of just taken over their, the 900 series, even though there was the
Yeah.
problems, it's still crushing. And AMD needs an answer. They need to come back, and they haven't really said much as far as a release date or anything like that. A lot of people
I think
at,
we're past the initial rumored date, I believe.
yeah, and a lot of people actually thought there would be an actual announcement at GDC. There was no official announcement or anything like that. But this is sort of official, unofficial, because it's unofficial, obviously.
Right. But they didn't deny anything about it,
Yeah, they
so.
didn't deny, and again, their exact words were unannounced Radeon R9 flagship Ultra Enthusiast product. So the flagship is supposed to be the R9 390X. Again, with that is going to be running the VGXT GPU. It's said to have 400 or 4096 stream processors, 4 GB of memory, and that's the new stacked high bandwidth memory. We have a full article on that actually about that
Yeah,
type of
that's
memory.
pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it, a lot of people are saying Computex. I would guess Computex is when this card's going to come out. Just because the hype around that show is so huge, and that's the place where you want to launch a product, and I feel that that gives them enough time to really get the,
Yeah.
get everything down and make sure it's ready to go at that point.
Do you think that, I don't want to say for the first time, but that we're going to see an extremely polished AMD product at launch.
No.
No.
I don't know if it's just me, but I just don't have that much faith in AMD, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, like,
Gotcha.
even, I mean, look at the R9 series, like the 290 series. It was good as far as performance, but it got so hot and it was so loud, and they knew, they had to know
Yeah.
that. You have to know that, right? And they still put them out anyways, So
So you think they're just waiting for the proper time here? We're not, it's not a matter of we want this one to be perfect.
I think they want it to be better.
Right.
That's why they're going with the liquid cooling, on both, that's supposed to
Yeah.
be on both the 380X and 390X are supposed to be liquid cooled. I don't see it being, I think that every time AMD comes out with something, NVIDIA's just like, okay, and then we'll do this and we'll be better. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's
Yeah.
kind of,
They've always got an answer.
yeah, and that's kind of what it's been. And I would love nothing more to see AMD come out with this ultra polished product that's completely perfect in every way and does and beats and knocks everything out of the water and all of that. But that's usually not what happens when it comes to AMD. It just, I mean, based on
Right.
previous things, that's just not what
Just not
happens.
in there. Not in their DNA.
Yeah, so that's kind of the, what we're dealing with. But again, I would love to see that. It's great to see competition, obviously. And we always said we have people on each side of the fence, and
And
everything.
we're
So,
rooting for him. We're rooting for AMD.
yeah, I
I mean,
mean, you would love to see AMD.
we're just hardware enthusiasts, you know. We want to see the best products flat out. Doesn't matter who makes them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what is coming from AMD. Again, we don't know pricing. We would expect it's going to be a $1,000 card, just how all of their flagships have been.
Right.
And the 380X will be the mainstream card, and that's going to be the lower price card. But again, we'll see how all that goes when it gets closer to Computex time. You really can't. That's all we can really say about it, that there was a product demo running this product, which means it exists. So that's the biggest thing for people to
It
know.
exists
It
and it can
exists,
play a video game.
and it can run a demo. So there has to be drivers out there and everything like that. So that's kind of what we know right now. It's just a matter of time as things progress to see, see what AMD announces, see what, they have coming. That's just kind of just a waiting game really to see what's gonna go on this year as far as GPUs go. So that was basically the week of GDC. A lot of cool stuff I thought. Of course, a lot of Nvidia stuff and Valve and Steam stuff, and Steam machines were the big
Yeah.
talk as far as hardware goes. Yeah,
Good week
so
for gaming enthusiasts, though. Lots of news.
yeah, lots of news. There was a ton of news this week. I was freaking out because I was sick trying to get all this news up on the site. But so we're gonna move on till next week, and we have some pretty cool reviews for you guys next week. You're actually working on. Did you finish the review? Almost finished.
I'm almost there.
He's almost
I'm right on
there.
the edge.
Yeah,
Right on the
he's
edge.
right on the edge. But the Fantex Enthu Evolve ITX, so that's their ITX version of their Evolve case. Anything you want to tell us about it?
It's very neat.
You like
So
it?
you're gonna want to read the review. Yeah,
Okay, cool. Yeah.
it's Fantex. I mean, Fantex knows what they're doing, man. That's about all I need to say.
Okay. I guess we'll have to
They know how to
wait.
make a good case, you know.
Okay, so we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Always Derek's reviews are always really good, and Derek's a really he's a hardware enthusiast, so his builds are always good. And you said you're gonna do a follow-up article on the water cooling
Yeah,
aspect.
after I just did an air cooled build this time around just to get the review out. But I want to do a full water cooling build in it because it's that's kind of what they aimed it towards. It's for both, you know, but it's Fantex. They support water cooling 100%. So I want to show its capabilities that way, but
Okay.
it'll take a little more time for me to do that.
Gotcha, cool. So that's something you guys can definitely look forward to checking out after the initial review launches this upcoming week. I'm actually in the process of reviewing Crucial's MX200 solid state drives. They actually sent me the 500 gig and the 1 terabyte, which I've never reviewed a 1 terabyte SSD before. So that's kind of
That's cool.
cool. It seems like we're getting our capacities up, which is good. And the MX100 series, which actually came out last year, was one of the best solid state drives that I reviewed last year. Great performance, ultra competitive pricing, which means for the consumer, that's great. That means that you're getting a great SSD, a high capacity SSD at a lower cost to you. That's what the MX200 is all about as well. They have some new technology in there and some other stuff. Of course, I'll get into detail in my full review. But so far it's a great SSD. And we've actually with this review, I'm actually starting a new SSD test that we're bringing to the site. It's PCMark's 8 storage consistency test. That is actually you actually have to run it from the command line. It's not actually built into PCMark 8 as far as like their graphical user interface. It's kind of like an enthusiast thing, but that actual test takes almost 24 hours to complete. So it's really
Whoa.
pushing these SSDs to the limit. It actually degrades the drive down and brings it back up, and I go over all that in the full review as well. So it's definitely a cool test to run and to really see how these SSDs react after being brought down to the lowest state and then bringing back up to a usable state. That is definitely a something cool that we're adding to our SSD reviews, and definitely check back next week for that review. I'm reviewing both the 500 gig and the 1 terabyte version, which do perform pretty much the same, but they sent us both, so we tested both of them. And then I'm also taking a look at the Kingston HyperX Fury DDR4 kit, which is a 32 gigabyte kit running at DDR4 2400. This is Kingston's second DDR kit. We already reviewed the first one. So the Fury was a new line that they brought out in their DDR3 line, and now they have Fury DDR4. Just like any memory review, I haven't really got into it that much. I've done the basic testing, but I'm going to be doing overclocking tonight and tomorrow to see how far I can push this kit and everything like that. So I'm pretty excited to finish my
I'm excited.
testing. You're excited for the DDR4?
I'm excited. I'm excited to see how fast you can get it.
Yeah.
DDR4 is it's exciting stuff, really.
Well, the thing is that the DDR4 moves the default timings are 2133 megahertz. That is moving up from what the 1600 megahertz of DDR3 as
Yeah.
the default. So as the default, it's going to run faster anyways. These are their XMP profiles set at 2400. We'll see how high I can take them after that. It all depends on, of course,
Nice.
heating and system stability and everything like that. And with X99, you overclock the memory completely independent of the processor, so it's pretty easy to overclock. It's just keeping it stable, and you can mess around with timings and all of that, of course, which I'll go over in my full review. So I'm definitely pretty excited to check them out. Kingston always has good stuff, as always, as we've always talked about. So definitely check back next week for that. And then I had this before I went to bed last night. I had this weird realization about something, which I'm not going to give away too much. But they're back in the early 2000s. Well, actually, I'll tell you about my first ever a look back article, which I actually went back and researched 3DFX, which I don't know if how many of you are familiar with, but they were a very popular graphics card company way back in the day. They competed with Nvidia. A lot of their technology was actually built into Nvidia products. And long story short is that I did a article called A Look Back, and it talked about this. And a lot of us who have grown up, through technology through the years, love reading these type of articles. And I've always wanted to find another company like that that a lot of people really related with and they could remember. So I had this, I don't know how I thought of it last night, but right before I went to bed, I was thinking about this company and I was like, wow, I should do a look back article on this. And this was a company that became extremely popular around 2003, 2005. Don't guess because I don't want to give it away, Derek, but they made enthusiast-based motherboards, which they don't anymore. But it kind of just brought a whole new aspect into motherboards that we see now in pretty much every motherboard that comes out, right? But this company was the one of the first ones to do it. They not only did the motherboards have that really cool aspect as far as looks and everything like that, but they gave you that awesome accessories package as well, which I'm sure a lot of people will remember. But I'll be working on that this week. Hopefully I have it up at the end of the week. I got to do a lot of research on it because I don't know that much about certain products, but that's something that I love doing. I love doing the articles where I take a look back and kind of, just remember
Little
and
trip down memory lane.
reminisce about certain technologies and certain things and certain products that I had that the company may not exist or something like that. And with this company really changed the game as far as motherboards go, and it's sad to see that they're still not doing it. So that's definitely what's coming next week. As far as everything else, looks like we're pretty much done with this episode. One thing I wanted to talk about is that you and I have been playing the Unreal Tournament pre-alpha,
Oh yeah.
which for me is a lot of fun. UT was a game I grew up on, again, playing, and with this, it just has that feel. It has that Unreal feel, and it's just it. I haven't played a game that has that has had this feel in a very long time. And
It's fun. Like just flat out. I mean, it won't blow you away with graphics or anything, but it's fun.
yeah, so it's in pre-alpha, so you don't have all the great textures and the your characters. There's only two characters to choose from, but the graphics aren't obviously what they're going to be in the final release. But the feel of the game is just like the older Unreal games, and that's a feel that I think a lot of
Yeah.
gamers will resonate with and they're gonna really like. And
It just feels so, it feels so pure, you know? Like
yeah.
it's just first person shooter how it's meant to be.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we've been in our free time, that's what we've been doing. We'll give you guys our with the way they have it set up is you set up an account with I can't think of the
Epic.
comment. Yeah, with Epic Games, you set up a user ID, sort of just like Steam, and they have a client and everything like that, and you can add friends. So we'll put our IDs on this our show notes here, so that you can actually add us and you can get into a game with us and see if you're better than us or if we suck or anything like that. So yeah,
Yeah.
definitely a game worth checking out for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's just open, you know. It's alpha. Anybody can come play it, and you can help build it if you really want to.
Yeah, so that's the whole
It's
premise
a
behind
cool game.
this, is that you're able to, contribute to the game, and that's it's kind of like a community project, because everybody knew that UT was a game that so many people played, and a lot of people grew up playing it, and I did, and I played competitively, and so I know a lot of other people did too. So it's just cool to have that community aspect, but definitely check it out. All you do is download an installer. It syncs the latest version of the game, and then you can just go in and start playing. It's really that easy. It doesn't seem like it takes up a lot of resources either,
No,
as far as
I
playing
was
game.
checking my temperatures just to see how hot it was running and everything, and it was fairly mild. So
Yeah, so,
you get a lot of bang for your buck on it.
yeah. Well, you don't. You're not any buck because you're not paying for
Well, that's like exactly. But I mean, you're I don't know. You get a lot. It
it.
doesn't cost you a lot to play it, I guess is what I'm saying. Like graphics wise, you can play this on probably some pretty low end hardware.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of what they had their idea, because that's how you're going to get more people playing the game as well.
For sure.
So yeah, definitely check that out. And one last thing I want to, before we get off here, is that this podcast is now on iTunes. So for everybody who uses iTunes and has an iPhone and everything like that, you can actually subscribe to the podcast so that our new episodes will automatically download. All that's going to be in our show notes as well, the link to subscribe and all of that. And guys, for sure, definitely let us know what you think of the podcast as far as our length, topics covered, whether you like us, whether you hate Derek, everything like that.
Oh.
Let us know
Bob,
how.
you just right for the throat, man.
But let us know if you like it, if you don't like it. We're going to continue this same format for the time being. It seems like it's pretty easy to go through, and it kind of covers everything that we've done this week and what we have coming next week and all of that. So definitely let us know. But that's it for this week. Derek, you want to say anything else?
Nope, thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll catch everybody next week.